I never thought I was going to be an astrologer to the point that, so my astrology story, I started studying astrology for fun on a whim. I had the old iteration of my business, and I had one of my teachers said to me, just go do something that you enjoy, like enough of doing everything to benefit your work.
Welcome to the Self-Starter Podcast, a place where stories are shared from women just like you who left the colorless corporate world with an idea and a passion and ran with it to create the vibrant life they always wanted to live. My name is Megan Tobler, and every week I'll be bringing real women to you to share their entrepreneurial journey in hopes of inspiring you to take the very first step of your own. Sometimes the hardest part is just to start. So come on, start today for you, start today for her, and become a self-starter. Let's go. Have you ever felt like you wanted permission to be yourself? Well, today's guest, Sophia Adler, helps her clients understand and use their unique strengths through their astrological birth chart. That's right, she uses this ancient tool to tell them about their personality, needs, career, relationships, and so much more. In other words, she helps them own their authentic self. This episode is one of a kind as we'll not only dive into Sophia's background, but we'll also dive into a sample session of what it's like to work with her as she reviews my very own chart. All right, self-starter, are you ready to be wowed by this ancient tool? Sophia, thank you so much for taking the time to hop on today. I have to say, this has probably been one of the most exciting conversations that I've been really getting myself hyped up for. So thanks for hopping on.
My pleasure. I'm so excited to be here.
Definitely. Well, you are someone that has been featured in publications like The Reader's Digest, Best Life, Well and Good for your work that's been featured through the astrological and mindfulness space. So for those people that maybe are just new to you, just learning about you, let's go ahead and dive a little bit into who Sophia is and really what you do.
Yeah, I mean, great question. Great place to start. My name is Sophia Adler. I am an astrologer. I'm also a personal wellness consultant. The way that I talk about what I do changes because I'm changing. And because as an entrepreneur, our businesses change and they evolve and they grow with us. In terms of my repertoire, if you will, what I have in my back pocket, the tools that I use, I'm a trained astrologer. I'm a certified mindfulness meditation teacher. I'm also a certified coach. I have a master's in psychology and education from Columbia University. So I really mix the practical and the logical, the more mental pieces with the spiritual, with the emotional, and provide like a full 360 approach. And what I help my clients do is I help them take confident action without letting their fears get in the way. My work is rooted in three core pillars. The first is that you're a cyclical being. You're not meant to be on all the time. The second is that you are meant to be unique. You're not supposed to fit in. And the third is that you matter. You have a purpose here. You're a part of nature. You are connected literally to the cosmos, which is just wild and crazy to think about and to see every day in my work. And so really empowering women to go do the thing and to do the thing in a way that allows them to put themselves first, that doesn't make them feel like, well, I can't. Well, what will they say? Or, you know, how do I do it my way? I tend to work with the very practical and ambitious and driven woman who's also spiritually curious. She's achieved a lot. She's done a lot. And she's now at this point where she's ready for something different. And in that kind of has this question like, oh, could that something different be for me? And do I know what that is? And then the work kind of goes from there.
Well, and you mentioned that part of being an entrepreneur is always being open to changes. And I think that as humans, we're constantly evolving. So it's not just entrepreneurship, it's us as beings. You mentioned we're cyclical. And so I think it's just in our innate nature to constantly be evolving and changing and adapting. So I love that you've also taken that approach in your entrepreneurial journey as well. And it's continued to build upon each other. But I saw on your website that you had mentioned being unsatiated and unsatisfied previously, despite doing all the right things and kind of quote the right way. So you were not always the astrologer and personal wellness consultant. So I'd love to actually just take a step back before we dive into all things astrology here and really understand kind of what your background was even before getting into this space.
Yeah, such a good question, because I will say I never, ever would have guessed that I would have become an astrologer. Like if you had asked 18-year-old me, 20-year-old me, 25-year-old me, if you'd ask my family, my friends, like, I don't think anyone would have pegged this. I'm the odd one, not in a bad way, but like my friends are consultants and lawyers and, you know, work in tech and I'm an astrologer. So I'm a born and bred New Yorker. I grew up on the Upper West Side in Manhattan and I did all the right things, as you mentioned. I went to a great school growing up. I was really fortunate, great parents, great upbringing. I had internships in high school. I went to college at Colgate University. I played Division I lacrosse there. I graduated from college. During college, I also had internships. You know, I ended up, as I mentioned earlier, got a master's degree in psychology. I had a marketing background. I lived in the beautiful apartment in the West Village with the skylight, or, you know, the sunshine that came through. I had the friends. I had the, you know, hip job. And I got all the things, you know, I like followed the rules. I did the path. I had the checklist and I was not happy. And I just, for years, I had this insatiable nagging, this voice that would not go away. And it just kept saying, there's got to be more than this. There is more out there for you. You know, if I want to be cheeky, there was also a voice that was kind of like, what the F? Like, you did all the things. Aren't you supposed to be happy? Like, I was told, I was guaranteed that if I followed a set path, then I would get what I was looking for. Well, I followed the set path and I didn't get what I was looking for. And so I just was a seeker. I kept looking, I kept going. And it wasn't until I found astrology, though I really believe astrology found me, that voice finally went away. I had multiple instances of being like, okay, this is going to be the thing that answers the questions. Like, this is going to be the thing that gets that voice to go to sleep. And every time I went into something like graduate school, I thought that would be the answers. And I just left with more questions. So it was really a winding road. And I think my winding road was very much a winding away from the traditional path that was expected of me so that I could find what I actually wanted to do. And I'll say, it's not to say that I was unhappy, but I was not satisfied. And I'm the type of person where I wasn't willing to settle.
I completely get it. And you shouldn't have to settle. I mean, I think there's a voice inside of all of us that is there for a reason. And if the voice is there, then we have to do it justice by seeking it out like you did. Like you said, you were that constant seeker and you didn't let that kind of like, what the F that you said, like just stay there. It's like one of those things where you constantly were looking for that thing that did provide you the fulfillment, because it could have been really easy to continue going down that path. I mean, you had what it sounded like the dream life. You had a great friend, the great apartment, great money. You're living in a wonderful place. You came from a wonderful upbringing, but there was something missing and you didn't let it stop you from finding something that was really lighting you up inside. So how did you go from all of that, what looked like success, to finding what you're really passionate about today?
Yeah, you know, I'll say I had the life that was successful on paper. So to your point, it didn't just look like success. It was successful. The biggest lesson for me was that it wasn't my version of success, that the cookie cutter definition of success was not my, it wasn't mine, you know, and that was enough. The big shift for me, and it's so interesting to look back on because I have no idea who I would be or where I would be, but my parents got divorced when I was 23 and it shattered me. Like, it was so devastating. I'm an only child. I didn't see it coming, but I think I didn't want to see it coming. And what was particularly challenging about that experience for me was that I was and am an independent person. So it wasn't like I went to my parents for everything, but it very much felt like, okay, my parents are now divorced. I'm an only child. So it feels like my family is gone, you know, like something new will form, but right now I don't have anything. And so I have to take care of me. Like, I have myself. I need to figure this out on my own. And in a desperate attempt to feel better, in addition to therapy, I just was like, I will try anything, you know, D1 athlete, born and bred New Yorker. I really was this do more, be more, achieve more person. And I liked fast paced things and I hated meditating and I thought yoga was stupid and slow. And I just was desperate. So I started meditating and I went to a free yoga class that was offered through my job at the time. And I liked it. The only reason I went back is because it made me feel better. It was like 60 minutes where I didn't feel as upset. And so my story isn't one of calculation or of planning. It was really just following the breadcrumbs. It's like my life fell apart. And in the process of putting it back together, I started my own spiritual journey. I started my own practice of, wait, so I'm in control of this life. The way that I think about things determines my reality. I don't have to settle for what's happening around me. I have more agency than I thought. oh, I get to do things my way. Like I get to decide what success looks and means like for me. And it just step by step by step, like that's how I ended up going back to graduate school. I wanted to learn about the mind. And I thought, well, I should know, you know, the way that the mind works from a, you know, kind of the classical way to understand the mind. And I thought that that would be it. And what I discovered in that program was there's no spirit here. And you can't do humaning without acknowledging that we are spirits and souls in addition to being humans. Yeah, it no plan. Just life took me where it was going to take me.
Well, and I think sometimes having no plan and just letting life take you somewhere is like the best way to do it. But going back to what you were saying, I think a lot of people can resonate with what you said. You said you were very much that New Yorker where you had to do more, be more, and achieve more. And I think so many of us are kind of in that phase of life, but we're really craving more. And what you did is like you really tuned into the areas that were allowing you to be more present, to feel. And with that, you realized that it was igniting something in yourself that you had never really felt before, and then led you to really continue your education in the psychology space and really understand humanity and the way that we think at a deeper level. So I guess going into grad school here, once you finished grad school, what kind of happened next with your career?
Yeah, so I got a master's in psychology, as I told you. And I should also note, I decided to go back to graduate school and study the mind because I started to notice how all of my colleagues at the time were kind of flocking to me. They wanted to hear what I had to say. They were curious in my path, you know, to this point of all of us are moving a million miles an hour. All of us are looking for meaning. People need it. We need it. People are tired. The world is a hard place. You know, it's stressful. We're more connected, yet the least connected that we've ever been. And so that's what led me to grad school. So I was like, oh, I'm onto something. Like people want this. Like people are drawn to me all of a sudden and I'm not doing anything but being myself. So went to grad school, which in hindsight, I don't regret it, but it was the right choice. I'm making air quotes for everyone listening. It was the right choice of like, well, you want to learn about the mind? You go back to school, you know, you get your master's. And after during my master's degree, I started my own business. At the time, I had a very traditional mindset and leadership coaching business for individuals and companies. I worked with big brands. I made good money. It was definitely not all roses and butterflies. I want to be clear. I was not some overnight success. Like I put in the work and for where I was in business, for what I wanted to build, I was doing really great. And it had nothing to do with spirit. It had nothing to do with the soul. There was nothing esoteric about it. And it's like I created the first iteration of my business was again, the person that I thought I was supposed to be. I should note my master's in psychology and education had a concentration in spirituality and mind-body practice. There wasn't as much of that as I would have loved in my graduate school experience, though that's a story for another time. But, you know, it's interesting, like I just along my entrepreneurship journey have continually learned, okay, well, you did it again. We're doing the thing you thought you were supposed to do. You did it again. And so I had the traditional coaching career that candidly would have probably been super well received on LinkedIn because it's very traditional, you know, and it makes a lot of sense and it's logical and safe and conservative, but it did not fill my cup.
And I've had a lot of conversations with women somewhat around this topic. And what you're describing to me sounds very much like you were in that masculine energy space where people are really focused more on the doing and the achieving rather than the feminine space where you're really focusing on the being present and really listening to that inner voice of yours. And I think sometimes where the magic happens in entrepreneurship is really using both of them to your advantage. But I think so many of us have been programmed to really focus on the masculine because that's what kind of quote unquote we're supposed to do. So it sounds like you were able to really recognize that in the first business that you started and make some changes to be able to really embrace some of this feminine energy.
Absolutely. And I will say, I didn't know that. You know, at the time I wasn't like, oh, I'm super masculine. I got to get into my feminine. I think that that's a narrative and a language and a teaching that's become really popular in the past few years. There's so many things that I've learned now as a woman and exploring my femininity that I'm like, why did I learn this when I was younger? Like, why am I learning this now at 34 years old? I have so many questions, but yeah, you know, I never thought I was going to be an astrologer. So my astrology story, I started studying astrology for fun on a whim. I had the old iteration of my business. And one of my teachers said to me, just go do something that you enjoy. Like enough of doing everything to benefit your work. That's super masculine. Like go do something that feels good. At that point, right, my spirituality was still under wraps. And so I was like, all right, I'm going to take an astrology course. Long story short, I fell in love with it. I discovered I was great at it. I did 100 readings within a couple months and my business took off and that was it. Like it chose me, right? But there's no coincidence that it chose me. The voice finally went away and it just took off. So I think that there is something to be said for, you know, for someone listening that's like, well, I don't really know how to bring my feminine in or what, I don't know what that looks like. Like, I also think that the feminine is very much a prioritization of feeling good. And for me, my story, in case it's helpful for anyone, is that I prioritize feeling good outside of my business, like just taking a step back and be like, okay, my whole life doesn't have to be my career. And in that, it then came back and influenced my career. There was no agenda on my part, no planning. You could argue that my astrology class was a fail because it was supposed to be the thing that I just did to enjoy myself. And then it became my life.
I love that you said it chose me, but I think that you continued to seek out this thing that did end up choosing you, because if you had just stayed back in the New York ways where you had what looked like success on paper, then you would never have found astrology. So I think it chose you, but you were listening to kind of the calling along the way.
Totally. That saying that when the student is ready, the teacher appears, that to me very much feels like my story and my relationship to astrology. Because it's funny, I'm an astrologer, but like, I don't feel like an astrology girly. Like somebody the other day was like, oh yeah, you're definitely an astrology girly. And I was like, am I? I really don't know if I am actually. So yeah, it's just interesting. I feel super lucky that I have both landed here, but to your point, to give myself credit that I kept looking. And I kept saying, well, the voice is telling me there's more, and I'm going to go find it. You know, we're recording this. I live in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Again, 3 years ago, never could have predicted this. I live the life now that I used to dream of when I lived in New York. Pretty lucky.
That's amazing. And you said the term astrology girly, almost like it could be a negative thing, but I think it sounds amazing. I would own that title.
It's definitely not negative. I think it's more that I am an astrologer and I am equally not obsessed with astrology. And what I mean by that is, to me, what I teach, the way that I work with my clients, astrology is a tool meant to help you. I think that astrology has been misconstrued by pop culture to be this tool that binds you, that you should not make decisions about. If you don't make decisions about your life unless you look to the stars, unless you check an app. And I just think that that's so contorted. Astrology at its best is designed to help you reconnect your own innate power, not to make you feel small and afraid to make choices. So I think for me, I associate astrology girly as a term with more of that take on astrology. So I'm like, I don't know if that's me. But at the same time, proud to be an astrology girly. Like, yeah, I'm an astrologer. Like, it's so fun to tell people what I do because nobody ever expects it. You know, when you meet someone around town, they're like, what? You're an astrologer? And I'm like, yeah, it's pretty cool.
The best elevator pitch out there, for sure.
100%. 100%. They never see it coming.
No, we're talking about the theme of astrology today. And I realize that some people may not even know what astrology is. So can we actually like take it back to basics here and really just lay out what's astrology?
Yes, yes, yes. So in the most simple way that I can explain it, astrology is the study of what's happening up there in the sky with the planets and what it means for us down here. That's it. Like that is the long and the short of it. Astrology is the study of how everything is connected. And the way that astrology does that is by looking at the energies of the planets and how they influence us down here on Earth. That's what astrology is. And I think that the macro teachings of astrology are the most beautiful things for people to remember. Again, as I shared earlier, we are cyclical beings. We're not meant to be on all the time. We have cycles and seasons. We are part of nature. We are not machines. We are unique. We are not meant to conform and be like everybody else. And there's this belief that self-care is selfish, that to focus on ourselves is wrong. And yet, astrology helps us see and remember we are these unique manifestations of of the universe, you know, like we are all energy, and yet we are energy in human form. And so we get to matter. We get to have a voice. We get to be unique and be ourselves and take up space. The fad of loving our sun signs, that will fade eventually. But understanding the big picture of astrology, of just remembering, oh yeah, like there's something going on here. The universe is alive. That wisdom of that will last you a lifetime. What you can use for literally your entire life.
Well, and that's what you're helping people with today. Like you mentioned earlier, astrology is really a tool to help you really understand like the planets and the positioning of everything to really work with you instead of against you. So there's a couple different ways that you can work with your clients. I know you do one-on-one astrology sessions. You also do corporate offerings and one-on-one corporate meditations as well. So can we go ahead and walk through each of the different ways that you work with everyone? And then we're actually going to surprise everyone, have a little reading ourselves here in a live capacity. So stay tuned for that.
Yes. Yes. So there's two branches to my business. I have individual offerings and then I have corporate offerings. I'll just start with corporate. There is a need for astrology in the workplace. There is a need for workplaces to address and acknowledge their employees through a teaching and a framework that they actually care about. The amount of people that I've spoken to that are so tired of, you know, yet another personality assessment that feels stale and very technical. Astrology is alive. And frankly, it's popular and it's a part of pop culture. And so companies come to me for astrology offerings because it's a way for them to engage their employees, for their employees to feel seen, for their employees to understand both themselves, their teammates in a new way, and to have some fun along the way. So I do mini readings for companies. I do private one-on-one sessions for companies, astrology workshops for companies, leadership summits, super fun. And then I also teach meditation classes. So 30-minute meditation classes for companies. I also do mini meditation sessions for employees that companies purchase. It's a more private, intimate experience. So that's the one branch of my business, both with individuals and companies. What I am known for is taking astrology, taking meditation, and making it really practical, really easy to understand, and available for everyone. On the personal or the one-on-one side, which is the majority of my business, and I kind of gather will be the majority of the audience that listens today. So I offer 60-minute astrology sessions, and those are really just a taste of my work. The bulk of my business is I have a 3-month coaching container that's rooted in astrology and psychology and mindfulness. And that is for women who are in the middle of change or want to create a change, and really empowering them to take confident action without letting their fears or their doubts hold them back. Really getting clear on who they are, what their magic is through their astrology chart, and then how to use the chart as a guide and a framework for making decisions so that they turn around and make choices that allow them to prioritize what they need above who they should be or the work that they need to do. While, of course, so being practical and driven and ambitious and, you know, getting all the goals achieved, but to do so in a way that's more balanced, to do so in a way that allows them to worry less and enjoy their lives more and genuinely feel about what they're excited about, because they know it's coming.
Oh, that sounds like the most exciting way to be able to work with a coach, to be able to actually use your astrological chart in the entire process of really figuring out how to take confident action towards your dreams. So I know that we can't squeeze 3 months of your coaching container into a 10 to 15 minute conversation. So that's definitely not possible, but I know we're going to give everyone a little sneak peek of how you actually read a chart and kind of take a little bit of a professional spin to it. Is that what we're going to do today?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. So if we want to go ahead and dive in and give everyone a little bit of a sneak peek into what it would be like to work with you and what a reading looks like. We're going to use my information here today, everyone, too.
Yeah. And you have not had a reading before, right?
No, this is a first.
Okay, cool.
Awesome. So I will actually go ahead. I know you just sent me my chart, so I am going to share this. So for anyone that's looking at the visual here, obviously this is more of an audio recording, but anyone looking at this, you can go ahead and actually look at my chart together.
Okay. So Megan, this is your birth chart. It's completely unique to you. This is a picture of where all the planets were in the sky the moment that you were born. That's what a birth chart is, right? Because again, astrology is the study of what's happening up there and how it influences us down here. The reason that your chart matters is because your chart reveals the energy at the moment of your birth. And so I'm looking at this chart and extrapolating that information about the energy in that moment and what it says about your innate energy. The reason, again, like another reason that this chart is so significant is because your soul didn't just choose this life. Your soul also chose your moment of birth. So that means that your birth chart is quite literally your soul's contract. What are you here for? What are your gifts? Who are you meant to be? What are your talents? What are your growth edges? Like, what are the things that you're like, well, got to work on that a little bit, right? This chart is your number one permission slip. It's not to say that it justifies the way that we are to the point that we never change or we never grow or we never evolve, but it provides compassion. It provides grace. It provides insight and understanding. So you don't waste time beating yourself up for who you're supposed to be, right? My story of my success versus quote unquote right success. And you can spend way more time being yourself and using what makes you you, using what your soul chose for you in everything that you do, so that you're less distracted by societal opinions about what's right and who you should be. That's why astrology is often associated with taking aligned action or authentic expression. To me, authentic expression or aligned action very much has to do with not being distracted by human stuff and being super focused in on the soul stuff. Does that make sense to you? Any questions?
No, it completely makes sense. And I like what you said. It's giving you permission to really be yourself using what your soul chose for you. I love that.
So I thought today that we could just do a little mini look at your big three. Your big three is your sun and your moon and your rising sign. So your sun is this circle with the dot in the middle up here. Your moon looks like a moon symbol. And then your rising sign, also known as the ascendant, is indicated by this arrow here pointing to the left. You're a Gemini sun, a Libra moon, and a Libra rising. Did you know that? I forgot.
I did know about Gemini. I did know I had Libra in me at some point, but did not know that it was for two things.
Yeah, you've got a lot of Libra. So I'll say this for people listening in, your big three is a taste. The whole chart is what matters. And that's it. The big three is a great place to start. So your sun and your moon and your rising sign are very much considered to be what a lot of astrologers call luminaries. It's your big three, for lack of a better way to say it. So the fact that you're a Gemini sun and a Libra moon and rising, right? That two of the three are in Libra. You don't just have some Libra. I would argue that that energy plays a very significant role in who you are in your life, whether you are aware of it or not.
And I honestly don't know much about Libra. And my brother's a Libra, and I do have a few Libras in my life. I know that I get along well with them. So okay. Maybe that has something to do with it. Not really sure.
Yeah, I would say so for sure. And we'll get there. Remind me and we'll like circle back to that. So Gemini sun, our sun is our identity, our life force, our ego. It's how we shine, the way that people look to us to shine. Something that a lot of people don't know is that your sun sign, however, isn't just who you are today and your identity now. It's also who you are becoming and growing into over time, because our identity is not fixed. Our identity evolves, right? We talked about that at the beginning of our conversation today. And so it's important to note that you are both a Gemini sun now. I imagine there are qualities of Gemini that you've resonated with your entire life, and you are continuing to become a Gemini sun. I will say, just even to pause for a second, it's significant to me that your sun and your moon and your rising are all air signs. Gemini and Libra are both air signs, because look at you, started a podcast, working with people, communication. Air is social. Air uses the mind, the voice. Air needs movement. Like, think about wind, right? It moves things around. Gemini, to go back to the specifics, Gemini is a social butterfly of the zodiac. Gemini is insatiably curious. Gemini is both and rather than either or. If you see here, the symbol of Gemini is the Roman numeral 2. So everything about Gemini has to do with duplicity and multiplicity. The Greek myth, the origin story of Gemini, is two sets of twins. So that's why Gemini sometimes get this bad rap for being fake or being two-faced or being flaky. Sure, the energy can express that way. But I think that Geminis get that reputation because Geminis are not meant to fit in with this super linear, hyper-focused, quote unquote right way of living that was determined by the Industrial Revolution and by capitalism. You know, it's like to be a cog in a wheel, to be a part of the machine, to get things done. And so I would say, you know, the number one thing about Gemini is just a need and a love of curiosity, insatiable quest for learning. What is important to note, however, as a Gemini, is that listening is one of the best ways to learn. So Geminis get a reputation for being super chatty and social and the like, and that's true, but we have to remember that one of the best ways to learn is to keep our mouth shut and ask questions. Not unlike your intention behind self-starter, right?
Right.
And the intention of how can I learn as you've told me? Please correct me if I'm missing something, but like, how can I learn as much as I can about women's experiences as entrepreneurs? And how can I also share that with other women to bring us together, to be right, to create this community, to be social Gemini, to learn Gemini, to share Gemini, and also very Gemini, to like keep it moving, right? There is a natural dynamic nature to entrepreneurship, to hosting a podcast like this, to talking to different women every day, you know, that from wildly different walks of life. As I talk about this Gemini sun energy, do you recognize this part of you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm sitting here and people can't see me, but I'm nodding my head this entire time because you're describing me. I mean, I am a learner. I'm constantly curious. I'm completely enthralled with other people's stories and really what makes them tick. I do have to say that I am social, but there is a part of me that also is a little bit more of an introvert. And I wonder if that's where kind of the Libra comes in, because I can turn it on, but I also need a little time to myself. Because I mean, I'm only human over here. So I don't know if that maybe makes sense with my chart as well, but I actually feel that I do listen more than I speak. And I think that that has really served me well in life.
Yeah. So there's, I don't want to go into too much detail just because I think it'll get complicated for people who are listening, but I'll just note that there's a few different signatures in your chart that speak to introversion, that speak to, right? Like to your point, you can turn it on, you are social, but I would imagine based on your chart that perhaps you feel most alive when you are in those more intimate containers or in a container that allows you to feel like it's a more introverted one-on-one setting, but you still are able to feed that hunger for curiosity, to learn more, to communicate and the like.
Definitely. Yeah. I've always been someone too that prefers small groups of intimate conversations with a small group of friends rather than big functions, because then I feel that you just don't have that intimate nature where you can actually really have those deep, meaningful conversations.
100%. So your moon and your rising sign, as we said, are both in Libra. So I'll break down what our moon and our rising signs are first, and then we can kind of dive into Libra energy. So our sun radiates, right? Our sun shines. So our sun is our outer world, what people see. The moon rises at night. The moon reflects. So our moon is our inner world, our emotions, how we feel. But more than that, our moon is what feeds us. It's what makes us feel safe. It's what nourishes us. The moon also represents mother, our mother role. And so it can quite literally be our mother, or kind of what we see and understand mother to be. So oftentimes our moon sign speaks to some sort of quality that we had with our mother growing up, or the person in our lives that kind of took on that mother role. Because think about it, the mother or the mother role is the first source of nourishment for an infant. That's why our moon sign is what nourishes us. Every planet in astrology is associated with a part of the body. The moon rules the belly and the breasts. We feed ourselves by feeding our bellies, and some women breastfeed their babies. So in business, your sun is how you shine. Your sun is how people see you shining, but your moon is what you need. Your moon is what nourishes you. Your moon is the key to self-care, to making sure that you don't get burnt out. For you, sun in Gemini, moon in Libra, there's a similarity because they're both air signs. They're different, but the energies are inherently more similar than some other people that, like, they might look super extroverted based on their sun sign, but their moon is so deeply private and introverted. There's a balance that you have to play, right? So sun external, moon internal. And then our rising sign is really how we show up in the world, how we move through our day to day. If your sun sign is who you're becoming, the destination, your rising sign is how you get there. It's the path that you take. So our sun sign and our rising sign, one isn't more important than the other. One isn't more significant than the other. It's really a question of how can these two energies come together to work with one another? How can you use your Libra energy to support your Gemini energy? Your sun and moon, Gemini and Libra, are very relatable, easy to get along energies. And so it flows. Again, there are some people that their rising signs are super different than their sun signs. And so it's how do you use these different energies to benefit you? I will just note, there are a lot of people that come to me and they say that, oh, my energies are, you know, I'm just always in conflict with myself. And especially in work and career, it's important to remember that we are complex. So our charts are complex. So our energies are complex. We are meant to embrace and embody the many qualities that make us who we are, right? So Libra energy, Libra loves balance and harmony and beauty, loves to find the beauty in everything, the silver lining. Libra energy doesn't really like to rock the boat, wants people to be happy, wants to make sure that like everyone, Megan is like nodding with a big smile. She's like, oh man, that's me, right? Like Libra wants harmony and serenity and peace. And one of the main ways that that happens is through relationship. Libra can be fierce, however, because Libra wants justice and fairness and equality. So a lot of Libra energy can come off sometimes as intense. Candidly, a lot of any energy can come off as intense. But I think Libra energy sometimes gets this reputation for being super sweet and gentle, and it can be. But when there's a lot of it and somebody's a fighter, it can kind of take on a little bit more of that spark. Libra, though, is not necessarily the teacher, right? Or super curious, or the one that's sharing. Libra's social, to be sure. You know, the air signs are known as humane signs. They're about humans and people and interactions. So again, right, it's like this love of people, Libra, this desire to know people, to get along, to make people feel seen, heard, and appreciated, to see the good in everything. How does that support you in stepping into your Gemini sun? How do you teach it? How do you share it? How do you learn, right? So they're similar, but they're different. There is sometimes an energy of Libra, if taken to extremes, if it's not balanced, that can lead to codependency, that can lead to having trouble putting yourself first or making choices that benefit you, because Libra energy is so good at understanding other people and what they need that it becomes overwhelming, right? It's like you can't ignore it. You're like, oh my God, I can see and feel and hear what they're saying and thinking. Like, I don't know if I can just make a decision solely based on myself. My guidance for Libra energy always is that it's important to remember that the goal is balance. And the ultimate expression of balance is having boundaries and having space for yourself in addition to space for others.
I resonate with all of this so much because, I mean, every time I've looked into astrological readings and things like this and looking it up online, I'm always researching the Gemini. But as you're talking here, I resonate almost a little bit more with the Libra. Now makes so much more sense because not only was my moon in Libra, but so was my rising sign. So 2/3 of the big three are Libra here. So it makes so much sense as to why I'm shaking my head throughout most of this. Like, yep, yep, that sounds right. Because you didn't say this, but the people pleaser in me, I definitely tend to put other people first. And I'm actually working on becoming a recovering people pleaser these days and really figuring out like, what does Megan want? And trying to move forward with that, just because at some point you do have to take a look inside and really evaluate what it is that you want rather than what's going to make everyone else happy. And I think if you do that, then that really helps propel you forward. I mean, clearly as you did, as you were constantly seeking in your own journey to find your fulfillment and happiness.
Absolutely. And to give, you know, a practical example for both you and our listeners of how you use this knowledge, instead of beating yourself up for being a people pleaser, if you do that, right? Or the struggle of like, why do I do this? Why am I back in this pattern? Why can't I just put myself first, right? I have a lot of people that come to me and there's this, you know, what's wrong with me? Or I've been doing life wrong. How do I know that it's not all falling apart? One of the best things you can do when you look at your chart now and when you think about people pleasing is just to remind yourself, my people pleasing is not a failure or a weakness on my part. I'm wired for that. It is my gift that I understand and I'm sensitive to other people, that I make people feel seen, heard, and appreciated. That's the first step, because it's a lot easier to make change when we see something for what it is without judgment, when we're able to be compassionate towards ourselves. And then from that place, we say, okay, without being wrong or bad or needing to be fixed, what if I were to do it differently? And in this case, with Libra energy, to come back to this, you know, I want everybody to feel good. I want things to be fair and to be balanced and to be peaceful. Well, if you want things to be balanced, then in fact, people pleasing is the exact opposite of that, because it tips the scales. The symbol of Libra is the scales. It tips the scales so far over to everybody else, and you're left with nothing. So when we understand our charts, it's both like a flag, right? It helps us be like, oh, wait, like, is this a thing for me? It helps with such deep compassion and understanding. And then it also serves as empowerment for how you want to move forward, and also to get clear on what you want to do differently. Because I think sometimes, like with the people pleasing narrative in particular, and I'm speaking generally about Libras, you know, because I didn't use that language with you, but it's definitely things that come up with my clients that have a lot of Libra energy. It's not bad to care about other people. It's not bad to always think about other people and want to put them first. I think that, you know, codependency, people pleasing, I think there's a lot of language there that makes it seem all bad and all negative. And I think that there's a lot more nuance and shades of gray.
I love that. You had touched on things a little bit earlier on basically how to use your birth chart to really understand what your gifts are and to work with them instead of against them. So a lot of the people that are listening are either entrepreneurs already or aspiring entrepreneurs. If they wanted to work with you, obviously they could dive into this for 3 months and really understand how to use this information to their advantage. But if they're not quite ready to get started, is there anything that they can do from a base level perspective to be able to really understand how to really incorporate some of this into their own business?
Yeah, absolutely. So I would say, can always do a 60-minute session with me is a great place to start. That is, again, like a taste of what a larger 3-month experience looks like. And then also look at your birth chart. Be careful of what you Google online, because there's a lot of fear mongering out there for astrology. So it's important to remember, if anything that you read about astrology makes you feel bad about yourself or scared, cancel it, like delete, abort, close it, because that's not the point of astrology. The fear stuff is human stuff, not planet stuff. And, you know, for the entrepreneurs out there, one, remember, you are a cyclical being. You are not meant to be on all the time. You are going to evolve and change. Your business is going to evolve and change. Expect it. Don't fear it. It doesn't make you wrong. It means you're doing it right. Embrace your own unique, authentic expression. Your sun is how you shine. It's likely what people see in you as your strength and what they come to you for. Your moon is an indication of your self-care. So you want to prevent burnout. You want to make sure that you feel fulfilled and safe and nourished. Are you addressing your moon sign? Are you feeding yourself from the inside out? And then your rising sign is how you move through the world. It's layered in with your sun sign. I would say kind of your public image for yourself is very much a combination of your sun and your rising. So explore those two signs, play with them, see how they work together. If they feel like they're really opposite, play with how they can work together, the benefits of both. And I'll also just note, anything that has a birth time and a location has a birth chart. So I also do readings for companies. Like I did a reading a couple months ago for an entrepreneur who was writing a cookbook. And we planned the launch of her cookbook based on the birth chart of her cookbook.
That's amazing. I would never have thought about that.
Yeah, go back to, you know, there's of course a little bit of movement here. It's like each of us have to decide, for example, Megan, with you, deciding like, what was the point that I started Self-Starter? Was it an email you sent out? Was it a LinkedIn post? Was it a conversation, you know, with your husband? You're like, okay, this is it. This is birth. Like, done.
Yeah. For me personally, I think that the birth of it was when I hit record on my first podcast interview. It actually happened to be my birthday as well.
There you go. So it would be where you are now, right? Or wherever you were, the time that you started it, and the date. And that's your business's birth chart. And you can look at that too.
I just had a little bit of an epiphany moment, because my business is my entire, I mean, it was the Gemini as well as the Libra, because I went live with my podcast on October 4th. Really interesting.
Yeah.
You just gave me a little bit of an aha moment.
Yeah. You know, there's always so much to explore and to play with, to be sure.
Well, I have really enjoyed this conversation, and I think that everyone listening is going to be fascinated and just running to be able to book some time with you. So if they are one of those like myself who just can't get enough of this stuff, where could they go ahead and find out a little bit more about what you're doing and to book a session with you?
Yeah. So the number one ways to get in touch with me is my website, sophiaadler.com, to find me on LinkedIn, Sophia Adler. I spell my name with an F, everyone. And on Instagram, Sophia_Adler. Those are the main places that I show up and share my voice, and can always DM me, reach out. I'll share a link with you to book. We can put it in the show notes. And yeah, don't hesitate to reach out. Get curious. Have fun with astrology. It's a really potent and powerful tool that can support you in your entrepreneurial journey.
I love it. And something that I like to really leave all of these episodes with is just a little bit of advice for the entrepreneur just getting started. So if you were to think of yourself a few years ago when you're just getting your business off the ground, like what kind of advice would you have told yourself back then?
Keep going. Keep going and don't be afraid when you feel like things are changing because they're meant to change.
Because we're all cyclical, yeah. Right?
Exactly. Exactly. Can I actually ask you one last question before we close?
Oh, absolutely.
How did it feel hearing me talk about your sun and your moon and your rising sign as it relates to either yourself or, you know, your journey as an entrepreneur? Because like we know each other, but not that well, right? So I always like to hear kind of what's that experience like to hear yourself reflected back through your chart.
It honestly gave me validation that I am where I need to be. Because I mean, talking about kind of the theme of the conversation at the beginning, what you had, like on paper, I had success too. I was making great money. I owned homes, like living the life in Southern California, but there was something missing. And it was that creative element. It was the connection. It was like the movement forward. And I was putting myself in kind of this box of what I thought I should be, just because that's what everyone was doing. That's what people were telling me to do, but there was something missing. And now that I've found this, I have felt more fulfillment. And believe me, I took a huge step back financially in order to do something like this, but I don't care because I'm so happy. And I don't know, I'm just like lighting up inside as I'm talking about this. And I know this isn't about me. This is about you for this podcast, but
that's the benefit of a reading.
Yeah.
That's the magic right there.
I really relate to everything that you're talking about. And I felt like you just described me in 10 minutes. Yes. Yeah. Thank you so much for taking the time to do that. I mean, now that this is recorded for me personally, this is going to be super special because now I have this for eternity. Thanks so much for taking the time to share a little bit of your wisdom, your story, and for inspiring other people to really go after their dreams as well.
Thank you. It was such a pleasure to be here.
Wow, that was such a fascinating conversation and one that left me truly craving more. Like Sophia mentioned, astrology is designed to help you reconnect to your own innate power. As an entrepreneur, you can use your birth chart information to better understand your strengths and to help you take confident action. If you haven't done so already, I urge you to find out what your sun, moon, and rising signs are. I think you may just find, like I did, that your soul is calling you in a specific direction for a reason. You were literally born for this. So let me ask you, self-starter, what were you born for? Thanks for listening to today's episode of the Self-Starter Podcast. If you like what you heard, be sure to like and subscribe to stay up to date on the latest content. Want even more? Be sure to head to selfstarter.com. And remember, start today for you, start today for her, and become a self-starter. See you next time.